It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news every morning. And we do that on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course, Amazon. Hope your weekend is a good one. Still haven't seen that Ferrari movie yet, so hoping to see that later on today. It is a Sunday. It is the 11th day for February. And coming up in just a moment, we've got our 7 days of real estate. It's been a busy 7 days. We kicked it off on Monday talking with Steve Lowe, the principal there in Canberra, about the Canberra market for 2024. Is the market going backwards? He doesn't seem to think so. We also caught up with Nikki Gogan there in Perth. She was telling us why Fremantle is absolutely a favourite of hers. So that is coming up. And of course, on Tuesday afternoon, we had the announcement from the Reserve Bank with Anthony Landau bringing us no change. Economist Asti Mariasmo, she was in talking about the property market. Nick Buick, he was here talking about management rights. And we also had Varsha Daswani talking about the Sunshine Coast. So that is all coming up in just a moment on our Sunday morning.
From investment strategies to market analysis. Know your property with us on the Real Estate Podcast.
You are telling me that you're off to a pretty positive start there in Canberra.
Yeah, 2024, it's only early days, but so far everything we've put in the market we've sold within about 4 or 5 days of actually being on the market. We haven't had an auction yet because everything we've had in the market has sold pre-auction within a week.
Yeah, one of the questions that has been raised is the population of Canberra being less than a million. Questions are arising about the sustainability of Canberra's earlier rapid growth during the pandemic. So what do you say to those detractors that are talking about that particular issue?
Canberra's over its long period, over a long-term growth, it's not been a high performer. It's been a consistent performer, 5 to 7% capital growth every year. Year on year, it doesn't normally experience much of a decline or much of a rise. However, with the COVID prices, it definitely get into that bubble territory, which is now popped. And so it should now continue back to that long-term predictable growth. And that, we're just talking about houses here. Apartments are a different kettle of fish here in Canberra. But with freestanding houses, we should just see nice, consistent, long-term growth, which is very predictable for people looking to buy investment properties.
So for the first home buyers that are listening, why don't you throw up like a suburb in terms of a first home buyer getting into for a house and perhaps where they should be looking at for buying an apartment somewhere in Canberra? Steve, have you got a couple that you can throw our way for our first home buyers?
We find really good value for money in the suburb of what we call New McGregor. So it's in West Belconnen, where you can buy a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom, 1-car property on a 300 square metre block for about $650,000 to $670,000. That's basically entry level in a good suburb, about half an hour, 25 minutes from the CBD. As far as apartments go, it's always a good idea to stay closer to the town centres such as Belconnen, the Canberra CBD and things like that, because there's always potential for capital growth there, or even Bruce. So Bruce is a suburb located next to the Canberra University, and there's always demand for apartments in that area.
Every week, real estate transactions take place as the market shifts month by month. And every day, we keep you better informed and updated on the Real Estate Podcast.
Well, it is a Tuesday afternoon and it is the first Tuesday of the month, and we all know what that means. It is time to bring in Anthony Landau from Equilibria Finance. And good afternoon, Anthony. What is happening? Here we go again, the first one for 2024.
Yeah, good afternoon, Craig. Here we go again indeed. But I think the sort of approach is a little bit more subdued this year than the frenzy of last year. So look, not unexpectedly, the cash rate has been held at 4.35%, essentially on the back of our recent inflationary data that came out last week.
This is really a formality, and I can't think where we've said it's going to hold. There's no way it's going to go up.
Yeah, I think this has been the most predicted outcome over the last 12 or 15 months since May 22, where
exactly.
There weren't really any economists predicting anything but a hold.
Being at front desk, you do observe everything, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, and that's exactly what I did. I observed. I did have a small little year or 18 months in property management and started selling not long after that.
And there you were in a country location somewhere in WA. You were there for 11 years selling real estate. So where was that?
In Northam. It's a little country town about an hour east of the city, Perth City. So yeah, I started at 15, started selling when I was 19, and I had 11 years there before moving to Fremantle, where I am now, some 7 years ago.
But, Nikki, we also did something a little bit off the rails, didn't we? Going back a few years ago, you were a bachelor. Tell us about that.
I was. I decided to go on the bachelor, have a little adventure partway between my country to city move. I don't know if that is actually what brought it about, Craig, but I was a contestant some 8 years ago now. What an adventure.
Yeah. So what was the main takeaway from being a contestant?
The main takeaway was that I was probably very naive. Yeah, growing up in the country, I hadn't really experienced the big city. I had 3 months in Sydney and had an amazing time, but ultimately got back to my country town and spent some more time there. I was there for about a year, sort of wrapping things up before I moved to Fremantle, where I am now.
Now, we know that the investors, they have been, my goodness, very, very busy, pretty active in your market. So for those investors listening to The Breakfast right now and looking at the numbers, the yields, the potential capital growth, what are a few reasons for those investors who might be in, let's say, a Sydney or a Melbourne, thinking on investing in Brisbane or even the Sunshine Coast or Adelaide right now? Why should they stop and seriously think about the Perth property market from an investment point of view?
Yeah, so Craig, there's definitely some investors that are aware of our beautiful city and what we have to offer, because there's a number of agents that, you know, I speak with that are continuing to report sight unseen offers from Queensland, Melbourne, Sydney investors. So they're hearing about it and they're coming to WA. Out of area suburbs, there's still a number of areas where you can buy good quality family homes in that sort of $400,000-$500,000 range. And then the rental yields that'll go with that are very attractive, and the numbers stack up when compared to similar price properties in other states. So I think some people know about it. It's a great place to be. I think the growth is there. As I mentioned, we talk about WA and Adelaide continuing to perform as a part of the whole city, that the whole area. Again, the indicators are that it'll only continue throughout 2024.
Now, for people, Nikki, that haven't been to Perth, can you explain a little bit about the difference between the north and the south when it comes to the real estate market there?
Yeah, sure. So that's sort of like a local inside joke, I think. Really interesting. We've got the Swan River that sort of wraps in the middle of our beautiful city here. You know, the locals will joke about being you're a north person or you're a south person. So they are different locations. WA is quite spread out. You know, wouldn't be unusual that if you've got friends up north, and I say that in inverted commas, you might only see them a couple of times a year because you sort of don't. For me, being in Fremantle, I won't venture out of my little area. There's too much to offer here. Great restaurants, great nightlife, great food, great drink. So you wouldn't leave here to then go to somewhere like Scarborough, which is probably equally as good, attractive on the coast and beautiful restaurant offerings, but seems so far away for us in the West.
You've just picked yourself a fight with Scarborough, haven't you?
Possibly.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
Now, I want to ask you about the Canberra property market, because the market not really recovering as well as some of the other markets. What in that space have you noticed about the Canberra market, if you can talk to that this morning, Asti?
It's the same case with a lot of other capital cities across Australia. But in Canberra, I think because there is less people, and because there is less people, when those less people take a little bit longer to actually make their decision, the impact of it is greater than, say, in Sydney or Melbourne, where you have a much higher level of population. And so even though in terms of the time that people are taking in the market to make the decision is roughly the same, because there is a smaller market in Canberra, the impact is felt a little bit more. So it's really more of that numbers game. And it is, like I said, it's across all markets. Canberra in particular does get slow around kind of like that November to February sort of timeframe, because a lot of the government officials or a lot of the government departments do take that break, and therefore there aren't that many people that are active in the market. That's also the time where a lot of students take a break as well over the summer period. And so there aren't a lot of international students in the market looking for rentals or looking for homes. So there's always that bit of slowdown in Canberra during that time frame, just because of the demographics that it's normally made out of.
And if we switch from Canberra to Sydney, recently I had a interesting conversation just talking about how many different sub-markets there are at the moment in Sydney. I mean, it's huge, right? And there are all of these sub-markets that are performing different across various parts of Sydney. Just in terms of that, are there any sub-markets in the Sydney property market for 2024 that you think that maybe we should look out for in terms of a bit of a prediction?
So if I can be a little bit of a crystal ball, you know, there are definitely some markets in Sydney that we've identified as a little bit more affordable and has really good growth and some potential to grow. So those are places like North Rocks, Craydon Park, Kogarah, Bankston, Auburn and Villawood. So those places we've identified as some of the more affordable markets, and also some places that we are expecting quite a lot of growth in the area in 2024. Some people may not have been looking at those markets thus far, or they might have, you know, said that, oh, I haven't thought about that market before. But those are definitely some of the markets that we've put forward in our report last year.
Decode the property market with insider knowledge and insights to better navigate your real estate journey on the Real Estate Podcast.
And it is a Real Estate Friday. Thank goodness for that. Heading towards another weekend. And we are talking to Nick there in Brisbane, talking about these management rights. And I just wanted to sort of step over, Nick, some of the different elements, because there are key elements, aren't there, to these management rights for people to sort of get their head around.
Yeah, it's a pretty strange and esoteric sort of thing, particularly in term compared to sort of normal real estate. So unless you're involved with it, yeah, it can be a little bit confusing.
All right. So perhaps let's have a look at maybe the caretaking agreement. How does all that sort of unfold, and how does that inform us in terms of management rights?
Yeah. So there's two main income streams that are combined together to give you the net profit for a management rights when you're looking at one. So the net profit is the total amount of income that the management rights receives. Part of that comes from the caretaking agreement, which is between the manager and the body corporate. In Queensland, it can be up to 25 years, and typically it is. So I think the average caretaking agreement term in the industry at the moment in real time is around 22 years. And you can top them up every year as well. So 25-year agreement between you and the body corporate, which is a big old list of things that you have to do to maintain that building. You know, everything from trimming the hedges to letting the elevator service guy in to whatever's outlined in your agreement. So those things were 25 years. The remuneration will be outlined on that as well, how much the body corporate will pay you. Often it will be set to CPI, so it will increase with inflation. That is pretty standard and consistent income. You can count on that. It's an agreement. As long as you do the things in the agreement you have to do, that's the income that you get paid. And then there is the other part of the income that you get, and that is from commissions, essentially. So when you're managing lots in the scheme for the owners, you get paid a commission, maybe 7% rental commission for managing those lots. So, you know, finding tenants for them, fixing the dishwasher hose when it pops off, all that sort of stuff that goes along with any sort of property management. And that income obviously is performance-based. So the more lots that you can get under management, the more income you're going to make there.
Now, we've talked a lot when it comes to the Sunshine Coast, and you are representing that area. So maybe it's a good time to step over some of the suburbs scattered across throughout the sunny coast, and which suburbs you think might be standing out, just popping their head above the water a little bit more than others when it comes to investing this year in the Sunshine Coast. One of those names is Nambour. There will be, of course, many of our listeners outside of Queensland that may not have heard about that area.
Yeah, so Nambour is a gateway to Sunshine Coast hinterland. Nambour, it's packed with small town charm, only 20 minutes drive to the beach, and it's extremely affordable for the investors. So Nambour has been very popular for the first-time buyers and investors, where the median house price is about $675,000, and the rental yield for the houses has gone up to 4.8%, and the median rental yield for units is actually 5.3% higher. So Nambour is a really, really strong suburb when it comes to investing as well, because it's much more affordable. So a lot of investors, first home buyers, what they are trying to do is just buy something where they can renovate a little bit and then just, you know, slowly do it up while they are living in it. That's the go with Nambour.
Okay, and what about Landsborough? I don't know of this particular area, so you'll be explaining it to me as well. What can you tell us about this spot?
So Landsborough is on the doorstep of Australia Zoo. And it's another Sunshine Coast hinterland suburb, renowned for its vintage charm. It's well connected by Roos Highway and North Coast Railway Line, and only 30 minutes drive to the Golden Beach. The median house price is about $771,500 in Landsborough. It's much more affordable when it comes to even renting it as well. Vacancy rates has just been about 0.5%, and high rental yield is about 4.9%. So suburb-wise, this is one of the suburban suburbs where people would want to live, and it has got a vintage charm, and it's close to Australia Zoo as well, so it's perfect for people who love animals.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.